This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. Well, here's the big news. The Schumer shutdown is over. So what's next when this latest short-term funding bill approved this afternoon expires in 3 short weeks, February the 8th? More political theater? Well, Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina is here with the fallout on Capitol Hill and what Senate Democrats will be pushing for in the next showdown. And the shutdown may be over, but the consequences could last into this fall's election. Pollster Frank Luntz joins me with his analysis of the collateral damage. Also, could this political theater be more about trying to upstage the administration at the one-year anniversary mark, keeping voters from actually looking at how President Trump has been dismantling Obama's legacy? Peter Hassan, who is associate editor for the Daily Caller, has written an interesting article about dismantling the former President Obama's legacy. He'll join us a little later here on Washington Watch. And also, let me remind you folks, we're going to be going to Israel in April, and we still have room for a few more on this intimate tour of the Holy Land. I'll be joined by former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. We'll have General Jerry Boykin and former Ambassador to the United Nations for Human Rights, Ken Blackwell, will be with us. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. This is a tour that will obviously take in our important Christian heritage, biblical history, but also bringing into it the current geopolitical environment in the Middle East, an important region of the world. And you'll get to talk with, just like you do on this program, you hear newsmakers. Well, there, you'll get to see them and hear from them. So find out more. Go to TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T Perkins. All right. Okay, well, after a week of weekend of political theater, today, shortly after noon, the Senate voted to break the filibuster and end the government shutdown. Now, the bill, or the vote to advance the bill to reopen government, drew most of the Republicans and Democrats with 81 votes. Now, there's still a lot to be determined. Now, if you were tracking this over the weekend, and I'm sure you probably had better things to do, but the Democrats were saying that this was all about holding up DACA, which is essentially the Dream Act. This was something unilaterally done by President Obama in allowing these underage immigrants who came here, whose parents came here illegally, to allow them essentially amnesty, okay? Well, that's being dealt with. The president said he wants it dealt with and is given a deadline, I believe, in March for Congress to deal with it, or he would deal with it. Well, the Democrats wanting to derail the funding bill held it up over this issue. Well, will this once again be an issue in 3 short weeks? The House seems to have no inclination of wanting to take that up and make that a part of the funding issue. They want to deal with it separately. So what can we expect? More of this in the next 3 weeks? Well, with us now is Congressman Ralph Norman. He represents the 5th Congressional District of South Carolina. He serves on the House Small Business Committee, the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, and is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, glad to be here, Tony.
Okay, before we get into what's coming up next, what's the fallout? I mean, to the citizens, I'm not going to talk about the political fallout. I'm going to talk with Frank Luntz about that. But from the standpoint of, I know your concern and many of the Republicans' concern was the impact upon citizens, their constituents. Have we averted most of the fallout from this by getting government running again?
Well, yes, I mean, government's funded. It's a win for that military veteran who was not getting a paycheck. It's a win for the CHIPS program, those children who needed a flu shot. But, Tony, it should have never come to this, to hold the country hostage like the Democrats did. Was unfair. It was unexpected. And it just shows you what they'll do to basically what they were hoping for, in my opinion, was to get a quick decision on something that's very complicated. They mm-hmm. don't believe in building the wall. They don't believe in ending the diversity visa program. They believe in chain migration. They want this country basically to be flooded with illegal immigrants, and they put them above the American people. And so I'm glad I don't think they expected that we were going were firmly opposed to letting them shut the government down. I think they thought we would have blinked, and we didn't.
You're absolutely right. I do, because historically that's what's happened. And I think the backstop here was President Trump, who said, you know, we're not dealing. We've laid out what we'll do. We've made our compromises, and we're going no further. And so I get the sense that the president is really got the back of the Congress, or the Republican leadership, and they're saying, no, we don't want to move any further. That became a little evident over the weekend when some moderate Senate Republicans were saying, well, Flake in particular, was saying that, well, look, we need to negotiate a deal absent of what the president has to say. So I think the president was, in fact, holding their feet to the fire.
Yes, he was, and I admire him for doing that. He didn't buckle. I really think that the Democrats thought that if they shut the government down, that we would automatically jump and say, what do you want on immigration, which we just were not going to do. The devil is in the details,
right.
And it's going to take some time to negotiate a immigration policy that works, that includes the wall, that includes an end to the diversity program, chain migration, you know, go down the line. And
I will say, Congressman, this is an issue that has been dangling out there for decades. I mean, and you're right. I don't think it can't be solved in 72 hours when it's been a problem for, an acute problem going back to 2007 and 2008. For over a decade, this has been a major issue. Is there a sense that Congress has, and I'm going to speak specifically to the Republicans, because this is not an easy issue. It's complex, but it does need to be addressed. Do you think that the Republicans will address this issue?
Yeah, we've got a good LAT bill that we're going to put forward, securing America's future, that makes sense. It's just what the president, when he was running, promised to do, build a wall. We're going to end the diversity program. We're going to reduce the overall level that's coming across the border. Tony, we've got a million, 60,000 people coming across every day.
Right.
And we've got to have a way to control that. And we've got to have an orderly plan. And it's just it takes time. This president hadn't been in office but a year. The Democrats, and that's why it was so disingenuous for Schumer to say, you know, we had a plan. I mean, where was his plan? Show me on paper. What bill did he have? He didn't have one. So, you know,
I think they wanted to continue what President Obama unilaterally did.
Right, which was nothing. He wanted to have it like he'd have it, and simply for votes. You know, you see what's going on in California now. They want to register illegals, let them get a driver's license, and then they register to vote. That's what they want to do in Texas. If they did that, if we had relented on this, the conservatives would never win. This country would be gone. And Laura Ingraham insinuated that last night. But I believe it. I mean, that's their plan. And on
part of the challenge we have here on the immigration issue, and we don't want anybody to come here, and I know you're not saying that either. What we want are people who come here legally. And we have in place the mechanisms needed to assimilate them into our country.
Correct. We want to do it, and we have got to find a way to monitor it, both from a security standpoint and a financial standpoint. We're $22 trillion in debt, and we offer, as you know, free education, free medical care, free K through 12 school. I mean, where does it end? And I did the math on it the other day for a group, and it boils down to $170,000 for every taxpayer, not citizen, but taxpayer. If you do the math on the $330 million, it boils down to about $66,000 per person. And that's sad. The cruelest tax of all is what this country's getting ready to go into. And what Schumer didn't tell you that we heard, and it's pretty reliable, he had a lot of other contingencies that he was asking for, like a bailout of the pensions, like sequestering and raising all the funds, not just the military, all the budget cap, raising the budget caps, not just for the military, but every other social program. That's got to stop, and the Freedom Caucus is leading the way on that and is going to continue to do that.
When we talk about the issue of immigration, Congressman Norman, one of the issues that Schumer was pushing for and the Democrats was they want this resolved prior to the next CR, continuing resolution ending, which is just 3 weeks. So, I mean, that's not reasonable to think that you're going to come up with a comprehensive plan for immigration in 3 weeks. So are we going to be back at the same point in 3 weeks? Do you think they'll try this again?
Be interesting. I think they had the only reason they relented this time, they got negative feedback. They thought it was going to be a replay of 2013 when the Republicans took the hit for shutting the government down. So when they started getting the pressure from their constituency, I think that's the only reason they backed up. What did they get? 1 week less. They didn't get anything else. In our caucus meeting, we held firm. We made sure that no commitments were made. We're going to debate it, which is the normal course of, normal course in Congress. It's just, and Schumer knows this. You put up a bill and you debate it, and that's what we're going to be doing. And in something this big, the devil is in the details. And the other overriding, I think, consideration that the public needs to know: they hate Donald Trump. They hate the economy's doing well. They disdain the thought of anything that he's doing that the public likes. And I think had they not gotten the pressure, they would have loved this to continue until a State of the Union address.
Well, and we're going to talk about that later in the program, because I think a lot of this was to simply try to upstage the president and the accomplishments of the 1 year of his administration, in which he has been systematically dismantling the liberal policies of the previous president.
Yeah, and, you know, for the last 8 years, if they really were sincere, if Senator Schumer was sincere, where was this plan then? They want it kept like it is, and he's putting pressure to, he's slowly clamped down on the as best he can the illegals coming in now, and they don't want that. They yeah. Again, it's in my mind, it's a matter of votes for them and appealing to their left base.
Congressman Ralph Norman, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate your insight on this, and obviously we're going to be following this very, very closely in the next 3 weeks.
My pleasure, Tony. Thanks for what you do.
All right, thank you. Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, when we come back, Frank Luntz, pollster, is going to be joining us to talk about the political fallout to both parties. Do the Republicans have damage control to do? Do the Democrats? Who? And what effect might this have on the fall's election? We're going to be talking about that with Frank Luntz when we come back. So don't.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, lots of drama on Capitol Hill over the weekend as Congress worked to get the government running again. Honestly, unless you were watching media, you probably wouldn't even have known it. But since the media focused on this so heavily, as the president would call it, the fake media in particular, will this have an impact upon the Democratic Party holding essentially the government and the rest of America hostage for some illegal immigrants? Or will the Republicans pay the price for this? And will this all fade before the fall's election, or will it have an impact? Joining us now to talk about that, one of the nation's leading political consultants and pollsters. He is the founder and chairman of Luntz Global, Frank Luntz. Frank, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to do this. And I just want to say at the outset, what a brilliant communicator you are. And this is not trying to be nice to a host and pat him on the back so that the questions are easier. You and I had a conversation. We ran into each other about a month ago, and you'll note that I said it to you then, long before I even knew you had a radio show. So this is a privilege to be able to do it. And I'll tell you, straightforward, is that this time the Democrats will regret what they did. This time the public sees that they played politics over policy. And that is too much for too many people. I think it's one of the reasons why they caved so quickly, and they got nothing of what they asked for. They realized they were on the losing end of this, and so they wanted to get out as quickly as they could.
Well, Frank, I know you track this very closely. I mean, that's how you make your living. Schumer I don't agree with him on anything, but he's a smart guy. But did he overplay his hand on this?
The reason why he got out so quickly is because he realized that he played this very badly, that in the end they weren't fighting over some policy, they were simply fighting over politics, and that the president actually went quiet for the last 48 hours, and so the focus was on what Schumer had done, what he was fighting over, or more accurately, what he wasn't fighting over, and that the public simply decided that battling for illegal immigrants was not nearly as important as paying our men and women in uniform, was not nearly as important as allowing the government to function the way that it normally should. He had the wrong priorities. He had the wrong messaging. He had the wrong strategy, the wrong tactics, and he figured it was better to lose now in a small way than to lose even bigger a week or two from now.
So, Frank, with the president stepping in the background, with the exception of a few tweets, smart move on the president's part?
Yes, you'd be amazed that very often the loudest sound you can make is silence. And with all due respect to some listeners who really, truly want to fight on everything, want to be heard on everything, you know this as a child, that when your parents won't speak to you, when their anger or fear is so great that they are silent, that's much worse than being talked to in a stern way. And that in American politics, instead of getting up and making commentary on everything, sometimes when you're silent, it causes people to hear even better.
Well, I remember when I was a rookie policeman, the veterans used to tell me when we were on our way to a bar fight, just to stop, get a donut, and you know, that way you don't have to do all the hard work when you get there, and you know, let them beat each other up. So I guess maybe that's what the Democrats did on this.
Well, first off, I did not know you were a policeman. Secondly, you just played into the stereotype of donuts, so that's the first time I can say to you, bad language. But yes, cooler heads prevail. And the key in all of this, and the Democrats did it before over Enron, they did it before over Obamacare, that they get so worked up when they disagree with the Republicans, when they think that they're on the moral high ground and they're not, that where they might have had an advantage, they actually lose it because the American people see that while what they're saying they care about, the reason why they're saying it, the intent, is for political gain rather than policy or principle, and that's when they lose. I'll acknowledge to you that the Republican majority in the House is under threat. It really is, because there are a number of Trump voters that are so angry at both political parties that they may vote for Pelosi or a Democrat. What they don't realize is that they will destroy Donald Trump if they do so, that all the Democrats will do if they got the majority are subpoenas and investigations rather than holding themselves accountable for the 8 years of the Obama administration. But that anger among Trump voters is so great towards Washington that they simply want to vote everybody out. The consequences of that are significant.
Frank Luntz, on the issue of the Senate, we've just got 2 minutes left. The issue of the Senate, though, does this affect those important midterm Senate elections?
I think it will. And I think it will in places like Nevada and Arizona, which is where the Republicans have seats that they have to defend that will be very close, as well as Missouri and North Dakota, which are seats that the Democrats have to defend that will be very close. West Virginia, another example. I think that Congress is up for grabs, and I think that what they say and do over the coming months will determine who wins. It's too close to call. Both the House and the Senate are too close to call at this point, which means that every one of these issues really does count.
Frank Luntz, thanks for joining us. We're going to get you back on so we can go a little more in-depth, especially on the House and what needs to happen for the Republicans to maintain control of the House, because I think you're absolutely right. That is the greatest threat to the president.
Only if you'll tell me which donuts you preferred when you were a cop.
Actually, apple fritters. They were the best.
Okay. I shouldn't have asked.
Frank Luntz, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, Frank Luntz. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, no more talk about donuts. But we'll be talking about how this president, President Donald Trump, is dismantling the legacy of Barack Obama. We'll be joined when we come back by Peter Hassan. So don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay. Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, I'm going to play an audio clip, and I'm going to ask you, do you remember this from a few years ago?
No one is prouder to put this birth certificate matter to rest than the Donald. And that's because he can finally get back to focusing on the issues that matter. Like, did we fake the moon landing? What really happened in Roswell? And where are Biggie and Tupac?
Well, that's President Obama mocking then-businessman Donald Trump at the 2011 White House Correspondents' Dinner for calling into question whether Obama was born in America. Well, Donald Trump, guess what? He's in the White House. And he is systematically dismantling former President Barack Obama's liberal legacy. And Peter Hassan, who is the associate editor for The Daily Caller, has written an insightful article detailing this undoing of Obama's policies. And I think in part that this is what this weekend's political theater was about. It was to try to, I think, distract from the fact that this president, this Republican president, has done something that I don't know of another Republican in my lifetime ever doing. When Republicans are elected, they will, the good ones, will slow down or even stop the liberal policies of their predecessor when they're Democrats. I don't know of a Republican that's actually undone and reversed the policies of their predecessor, but that is exactly what Donald Trump is doing in many cases, actually stopping the bad policies like we saw this past week, Thursday and Friday, one of the most onerous agencies of the federal government that's attacked systematically the faith of Americans, health and the Department of Health and Human Services. This was the HHS mandate. This was the origins when Secretary Sebelius was there, the precursor, a part of Obamacare, in which it mandated every insurance policy prescribe pay for abortifacients. So the president now expanding the Department of Civil Rights to include an office of faith to make sure, not just, again, this is significant. It's not just to say, all right, we're not going to do this anymore, but to actually put in place an agency within the department to make sure that it doesn't happen. That's a difference. Going back to my old, my analogy from the police days, you know, you heard community policing, all right? The difference is that you respond, you know, typical patrol, you respond to a complaint. Community policing, you're proactive. You're actually out there in the community, walking a beat, riding a bicycle, stopping by the key places, talking to people to prevent crime. It's a key difference. Well, that's what this administration is doing now under Trump's policies, is not just responding to complaints, but proactively protecting religious freedom. This goes back to May of last year, something I worked on very closely with this administration, and we got it out. And I'm not going to say it was not without opposition. There were certainly some in the White House that did not want this. But the president, on May the 4th, it was the day of the National Day of Prayer, same day that the House repealed Obamacare, and he issued an executive order calling on the Department of Justice to issue guidance to all the federal agencies to aggressively protect and promote religious freedom in our country. And that's what we're seeing happen. Now, unfortunately, it is very, very difficult to turn government around. And so it takes time. But we're seeing it more so than, again, I've ever seen in my lifetime. So I would just say this to the Never Trumpers and those who, you know, continually want to, especially the left. And I write about this today in my update piece, because there are some on the left that are like bemoaning what's happening at HHS and the fact that their former, I have people at used to work for me at FRC that are there now. We have quite a few people over there from conservative organizations that now they're complaining that it's become the Christian organization over there. Hey, what was it before? We're just undoing it, and this administration is doing that. And so for those who want to criticize, the president and those who support the president, look at the policies. Look at how he has systematically undone the legacy of Barack Obama. All right, just got word Peter's phone was broken, was not able to get with us, so we're trying to find another way to get with him. But if not, we'll get him. It's a fascinating piece. You can still read it. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. But he basically goes out and makes a laundry list of the things that this president has done in terms of dismantling, and I like to use that word, dismantling the legacy, the liberal legacy of Barack Obama. All right, when we come back, your thoughts. Is this president doing enough? What kind of grade do you give him at the end of this first year? That's next on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Can a Facebook post or a tweet or an Instagram picture save a life? At Family Research Council's 13th annual Pro-Life Con Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture of human life. Join us via live webcast from Washington, D.C. the morning of Friday, January 19th from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists, as well as testimonies from families and individuals who chose life. At the intersection of cutting-edge technology and a passion for the lives of the unborn, you'll be educated and empowered to better reach your community on social media. With this innovative information, anyone can make an impact for the pro-life movement anytime and anywhere. Also, see live coverage from the National Mall as the March for Life gets underway. Tune in on January 19th at prolifecon.com. Again, visit prolifecon.com for more information.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep track of my thoughts on a couple of things at T Perkins. Go ahead and sign up there. Okay, here's what I want to talk about. We were talking about 1 year. We marked the 1 year anniversary over the weekend of this administration, and strong evidence suggests that this president is dismantling the liberal legacy of Barack Obama. Now, I'd like to see a little bit more, especially when it comes to the military, because that is where Obama did most of his social engineering, and it is having devastating effects upon our nation's military. And I mean, our military is at a level of readiness that we've not seen since before World War II. All right. I mean, roughly half our planes aren't airworthy. They can't fly. Same with our ships. It's because all of the money was spent on what money was spent. They cut out a lot of money and sent it to their domestic social programs. But the military was focused more on, you know, indoctrination for, you know, sexual harassment, welcoming homosexuality and transgenderism and all these other things. In fact, you look at the number of accidents involving ships and different things that have occurred, and it's human error, oftentimes traced back to a lack of training. I guarantee you, they didn't, as General Boykin has said many times, I guarantee you they didn't miss any of their special training for sexual harassment or embracing homosexuality. What they did miss was core training for what it means to be in the military, how to fight and win wars. So anyway, is the president, are you pleased with the steps he's taken to dismantle the Obama legacy? And what kind of grade would you give the president? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I just want to mention, I was in New Orleans over the weekend and Saturday night for a special event that I participated in, spoke briefly in, for Roger Villery, good friend of mine, retired from being chairman of the Republican Party in Louisiana after serving for 14 years, longest serving Republican Party chairman. And under his leadership, the Republican Party has made tremendous gains. In fact, of course, that was a little bit longer, but back when I was on the ballot in back in 1995, Louisiana had one statewide Republican official and not even a quarter of the state legislative bodies. Today, there's only one statewide Republican or Democrat elected, and both chambers are controlled by Republicans. And it's not just about Republicans. It's about conservative liberal ideology. And I'm hoping that as it has shifted, I don't like the partisanship that often filters in. But anyway, just kudos to my good friend Roger Villery for his leadership and years of faithful service. And folks, it makes a difference, okay? When you get involved, some of you could be on state parties as committee men and women, the State Central Committee, City Council. All of those elected offices have an impact. So be involved. All right. All right. We're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234, and we're going to go to Ohio where Joe is on the line. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Perkins. Thank you for all that you do and everything your friend did in Louisiana. And just to kind of piggyback on the comment you made, yeah, if we had that, imagine how many planes and parts we could fix with that $155 billion that the previous administration gave to Iran. That would fix a lot of planes and a lot of broken parts and buy a lot of parts. But I think to get back to your main question, I would give Trump an A-. I would give the Freedom Caucus and the Tea Party an A-. I would give the House probably a C. I give the Senate a D. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think as long as the conservatives don't cave on this immigration, I think we can pick up some seats in the Senate, and that'll give, you know, the president a little bit, hopefully a lot more support, a little bit of breathing room on some of these. I mean, we're not going to be able to replace all the rhinos in one fair swoop. You know, I wish we could, but it's going to be a, they didn't become rhinos overnight. We're not going to be able to get rid of them overnight. But I think I'm cautiously optimistic as long as we don't cave on this DACA, this immigration and everything. And they said that liberals want to sell it as these poor little children with, after Obama's 8 years of not doing anything and Bush's, you know, 6 years of not doing anything, these dreamers, average age, I think, is over 26, and their average income is over $18.50 an hour. So it's not these little babies that they can't take care of themselves. So thank you for all that you do. God bless you.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much for calling, and some great points. Here's the main thing about – I want to just focus on one thing Joe said, and that is – The midterm elections this fall coming up, important. And I'll go back to what Frank Luntz said, because this is absolutely true. He is absolutely correct on this, that if the Republicans were to lose the House or a working majority in the House, and they're close, they can't lose a lot of seats and still control it, because you've got a few of these moderate Republicans that are like a broken leg. You can't count on them, can't stand on them. The president could very well be impeached. And look at the Senate. Do you really think the Senate's going to protect the president? I mean, when I say protect, not yield to outside political pressure. And that could be the complete undoing of the gains that have been made. Now, if the president did something that was impeachable, but if you look at these articles of impeachment, it's all about the fact that he is driving the left bonkers. I mean, they've accused him of degrading the media by calling them names. I mean, this is laughable, but it's serious. So that means, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because what it means is we need to stay focused on the mission. Now, we do have to hold Congress and this administration accountable to the Constitution and what is right. And I was asked this several times over the weekend by reporters saying, well, you know, this president, there's this alleged thing that happened with a porn star 10 years ago. Doesn't that change your mind about supporting him? Well, no. I knew that there were issues in his past when he became the candidate for Republican, for the Republican nomination, and I supported him based not upon his past, but based upon his promises and based upon who he was surrounding himself with. And so when I look at that, I look at the fact that he has performed on those promises. And to date, he has stayed on the straight and narrow, if you will. Now, as I told these reporters, the support of evangelicals, of social conservatives, is not unconditional. If this president were to engage in some of that behavior that had been discussed in the past or that he had engaged in the past, he will lose support. If he fails to follow through on the promises, he would lose support. So it's not like just because he's a Republican, they're supporting him. I can't get the media to understand the reason that he has almost universal support from conservatives, evangelicals, social conservatives, is that he is actually doing something. He is working to bring our government back in line with the Constitution and the values that made this nation great. This is about policy. It's not about personalities. Let's go to Iris in Texas. Iris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. And again, thank you for all that you've done. And I know you've been part of that select group of ministers and national Christian leaders that have advised President Trump and prayed for him. And I think that's made a huge difference. I myself have watched this and prayed for him harder than I've ever prayed for a president in my life. And I've seen a difference. I know that prayers make a difference. And I know yours and the others, Godly Council of Christian Leaders, has made a difference. And I think the two things that have made him my favorite president, probably I would give him between an A and an A minus, is because he has kept his promises with like our wonderful Supreme Court pick, Gorsuch, and being the first president to ever address the march on Saturday. That's a dear cause to my heart. I'm involved with the Pregnancy Resource Center locally, and I'm a Messianic Jew. And to see what I've cried out to for so many years, for him to do what he said he would do about moving the embassy, is amazing. It's historic, and he is leaving a legacy. And I'm very grateful that we have him, and I'm grateful that he's got good people around him. And I think that, yes, he's made mistakes, but and I think some of them have been in leadership positions. But I think it has been out of maybe out of innocence or not knowing the political scene. And that is, he's been a populist president. He's been a popular president because he's a people's president. He speaks language that we can understand, and he has a heart for people, and he bleeds red, white, and blue. He's patriotic. He loves this nation, and he's not afraid to say it. And because of that, that's why people love him and back him, because we feel that we can connect with him. And that's the first president that has been like that. The only one that I can remember that was anywhere similar to that was JFK when I was a young teenager. So that's my comment, Tony.
Well, Iris, thank you. Very interesting. Very interesting. I think you are correct in that he does connect with people. But let me tell you what. It is genuine. I go back to to August of 2016, when the devastating floods hit my hometown of Baton Rouge, surrounding community. And as you know, we were involved in that as well. Our home flooded, and I was at the time interim senior pastor at one of the largest churches in the Baton Rouge area. And we were not getting much media attention, so I invited the president. He was a nominee for the Republican Party, to come along with the vice president nominee, and they came. And the president, then candidate Donald Trump, Mike Pence, and I were in a Suburban. We were driving out into some of the affected communities, and I could visibly see Donald Trump, I mean, the questions he was asking, the impact, that he was just astonished at the devastation, and a couple of times stopped the Secret Service so he could get out and talk with families who were dragging out their possessions to the roads. And just, you can watch people whether or not they're putting on a show or they're genuine. And it was genuine. And I've seen that in other follow-ups. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you what Ira said is we need to be praying for him and praying for those around him. And I will tell you, I will be the first. If the president strays, I will speak up, and I have, and I will. But I'm going to pray that he stays focused, and he needs to know that as long as he does, that we're not going to get distracted, and our support will not wither. And that's important in the midterm election, that we stay focused and not be discouraged and not show up or not register our friends and encourage our friends, because that's exactly what the left wants. That's how they win. All right, I'm going to work another call here. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. My words for the president is that he is doing an extremely good job. He is above a average. And I just feel like that we need to be a Christian first, not a Democrat or a Republican. We need to be Christians first, voting for what's going to make this America good again, the way the president wants it to be. And the Democrat has to get off the bandwagon. All they want to do is dismember or destroy. And they want to take the money away from the people that are just protecting our country all over the world. And so the Democrats, if you're a Democrat now, which I was until Obama, and then I learned my lesson there, that you've got to be a Christian first and put the people first, mm-hmm. not your political party. Because if they're out to destroy your country, then they're not worth standing behind. And we've got to think of that. When you go to the polls, I ask you, be a Christian first, not be a party second. Because we have got to back our president. And Republicans, if you stood behind him during the election, and stand behind him now and protect his back. That's what I have to say. And I thank you for all your work, Tony. And I like apple fritters, too.
All right. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate it. And look, folks, the Mary's point is absolutely on target. We vote Christian values. Now, you say, well, but President Trump, I mean, look at what he has done in the past. He wasn't a Christian, or he didn't act like one. What did he embrace? He embraced one of the most conservative party platforms in the history of the party that was about Christian values. And now he's been systematically doing it. What else could you ask for? Keep praying for it and stay involved from local government all the way up to the federal government. Do not disengage now, folks. We've got a window of opportunity. And as the Apostle Paul says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.